But Bebasrim and Tesom with Aleph. So the din is Ein Amonim. They're not believed to disqualify the Shtar. And the Talmud is explained in the Gemara in Subas, Yudchesom with Beis, Yudchesom with Aleph. Because since they signed in this document, it's as if they testified as such in the Beis Din. And now they say that it is possible, that it's invalid. So they are contradicting their first testimony, and witnesses who testified in the court cannot come back and retract what they testified. And further, that it is prohibited to write a document of, another reason, it's prohibited to document a document, a shtar amone, because the signatures are really false, because in the truth he never loaned him anything. And a person is not believed about himself to say that he did something which is wrong, which is a rabbi seresha, which is an evil thing. So the same thing, if the witness is signed on the document of a sale, and then they say, that our words were a meidoah, meaning that the seller gave over a notice before us, before writing the document, that he's only selling it because he's forced to, and he shows to us that he is forced, and the money, they're not believed to disqualify the document of sale, because they're not believed to retract from their testimony. Since the question is, since Rabbi Bachana signed on the document of sale, how does it help the document of notice to disqualify it? The one answer is, honey, mili, these words, that the word that witnesses are not believed to say, that our words were just a notice that only said when it's alpeh, when it's outside, because loyalty alpeh umare lishtore, because a testimony which comes verbally cannot come and disqualify a document which was already signed on. So since their testimony that was documented is considered like a testimony that was already investigated by Beis Din. But if the witness is signed on a notice bishtore, in a document before the sale, so then the document of the notice can come and disqualify the document of the sale that was signed afterwards. And therefore, even though Rabbi Bachana signed on the document of sale, it helps the document of the notice that they signed first to disqualify the document of sale which comes later. The Gemara brings a machloikis in this halacha, because of not what that Rav Nachman said. Gufa. We learned, this is the Omer Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that witnesses that signed on a document of loan, and then they say, Amono hayud vareinu, that it was just, that it wasn't a true act of loaning, lending over there, borrowing, but the borrower believed that the lender will not demand him with a document before he borrows it. Ain't the money. They're not believed, and same thing, if they signed on a document of sale and then they said that the seller gave over a notice before us, before the writing of the document, that he was forced with this deal and he wants to mevatel it, he wants to take away the deal, these witnesses are not believed to disqualify the sale because they cannot retract from their testimony. And by a document of Amone, that he says it wasn't really a real good shtar, there's additional reason, because that's considered to be an act, an evil act, an avera, and a person is not believed to make himself as that he did an avera. Mar Barabashi Omar, and Mar Barabashi says that the saying of the witnesses that the document was an Amone, or that it was a notice, that's not considered to be retracting from the first testimony. But they're just adding a detail that wasn't known. And therefore, the din is, if the Eidim said, Amono hayud vareinu, that our words was Amona, ain't Amonim, they're not believed. But if they say, Meido hayud vareinu, that a notice was a word, Amonim, they're believed. Do my timer, and what's the reason? Shezen niton likoso, because the document of sale that on which you have already given over a notice, a midah, that it's not good, in order to protect the one who's being forced from the one who's forcing him by writing a document, shtar, on the property that he wants. So since they are not saying about themselves they did something wrong, they believed. But vizeh, when we're talking about a shtar amone, that this loan never took place, that's not given to be written. Because since in the written, in the shtar, it says that he actually owes him, and in truth he doesn't owe him, so it turns out that they're testifying that they signed falsely, and the person is not believed to say about himself that he did something wrong. So now the Gemara goes weiter. We learned in a Mishnah, a man cannot have a chazok in the assets of his wife. So the Gemara asks, why does the Mishnah have to tell us this? Pshita. It's obvious that the eating of the fruit by his wife does not show on her ownership of the property. Why? Since she has the privilege to eat the fruits of the nichse melug, meaning the assets that she broke in from a field that she broke in by the chacham, by the institution of the chacham, peiro de kochel. So the fruit is what she's eating. The chacham instituted for her to eat the fruit. So by eating this, there's no evidence to her ownership over the property. So therefore, he doesn't have to protest because everybody knows that because she deserves the fruit, that's why he went. That's why she went down to the property. The Gemara says leitzricha that the Mishnah did not have to teach us this, but only in a situation the cause of law. That the husband writes to his wife that I am giving up all my privileges to eat the fruit of your assets. So even though he doesn't have now any rights to her fruit, so a woman is not usually accustomed to protest her husband when he eats the fruit of her assets, even when they don't really belong to him according to halacha, because since she is feeding him, so therefore his eating of the fruit does not provide us evidence that it is a chazaka in that he's doing it in the karka. So the Gemara has a kasha v'chikos of law, but when he does write her that I have no business in your assets, mahavi, what does it help? He's still not permitted to eat the fruits of her assets, and the Gemara brings it right from the proof from the braisa. But tani, but we learn the braisa oimer lachaveira, one who says to his friend. His friend who is he was partnering with, and he uses one of the three languages. Dinu dvarim ein li asada zu. I have no business in this field. Ein li esek ba. I have no occupation in it. Vyodim usulakus mimenu. My hands are removed from it. Lo yamar klum. He hasn't said anything because this is not considered to be a language of a gift. So therefore, against his will, it remains his until he says he uses a language which means gift or sale properly, or shouldn't be mafkirit. Amar lei devei Rabbi Yanai, so they said in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yanai, Masnisin, our Mishnah that we have interpreted, that he writes her, I have no business in your assets, his writing helps. And he doesn't have a privilege to eat the fruit of her assets. It's talking about because of law, Voida Arusa, he wrote this language while she was still an Arusa, before the marriage. So already at that time, she doesn't really own the payers. Okay, Rav Kahana, and like the opinion of Rav Kahana, that it is impossible to force him to have the fruit. He doesn't have to. So if he writes before he gets it, that helps. The Omar Rav Kahana, for Rav Kahana said,